begins now with Brian Bulaga in as our cousin sub of the day for Tausch. Cousin subs, we believe in better. Our buddy Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com posting this a few minutes ago. Don't get your hopes up. It's not any sort of free agent addition. He does run down, though, the list of players who have roster bonuses due when the league year opens on Wednesday. I don't think any of these guys are, oh, I don't want to pay that. We're going to be moving on from them. But a lot of times that is a mechanism that leads to decisions, right, Brian? So ranked in order of amounts, and as Rob points out, the Packers can convert these to signing bonuses, spread out the cap charge into multiple years, and create extra cap space to not spend on Devontae Adams. Rashawn Gary, $8.7 million. Xavier McKinney, $8.5 million. Kenny Clark, $7.5 million. I'm not saying at all, but that caught my eye. Josh Jacobs, $5.9 million. Keyshawn Nixon, $2.8 million. Lucas Van Ness, $1.2 million. And Jordan Morgan has a $479,000 roster bonus due on Wednesday. So here's my question for you, Brian. The one name that's not on there is Jaire Alexander. So there is no deadline, per se, of they have to make a decision on him. So while we've heard reports that they are open to trading him, they don't have to do it at any breakneck pace because there's no roster bonus that forces a decision. Does that lead you to believe that we might not know Jaire's fate for quite a while, and maybe even somehow, some way, he ends up still being on this roster in 2025?
That's what I kept having a question about, and I don't think that they're going to take this thing all the way to training camp and allow him to stay on the roster. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think Green Bay is going to do that. Because, I mean, obviously, we know, or, I mean, I would assume, right? You would assume, I would assume, most people would assume that he's probably going to stay away from the team if he knows they're actively shopping him, right? Like, I mean, he's not going to come to team activities and things. Like, it's not going to be a good environment. We'll just put it that way. If they don't make a move, so to speak, I would imagine they'll probably give this, maybe you would know how they handle these things better, Jason, maybe to the draft, because maybe that can be some, you know, maybe another time where deals get made, maybe right. Players and picks, you know, yep. At draft time. They could maybe take it to then, and then after that, I don't see a scenario where they would continue to hold on to him, because at that point, right, he has a workout bonus, so he could technically show up and work out and start to collect or start to put days in to a workout bonus, and I don't want to get like into the NFLPA stuff and technicalities here, but he could get into where he shows up, starts showing up to his workout days,
right?
And something happens and they tell him you need to go away, and all of a sudden now there's an issue, right? There's an issue with what's happening, and now the PA gets like there. You just don't want to get down into that, you know, into that situation. And Goody, and the Packers normally never get into that situation, and they won't get in, and Goody won't get into that situation, but they're going to try to get something for it, for him, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, they're going to try. But I think we're seeing the market may just not be there for pick. Teams are just going to go, hey, man, we kind of know you're probably going to end up releasing him, so why would we give you capital for him? And that's kind of where they're at with it. But maybe we're wrong. We've been wrong on a lot of things so far, so maybe we're wrong.
I don't like to emphasize that, but we were right about DK Metcalf. Both of us did not think that made sense. So give us one point for that. All right, let's get to some calls here. 844-770-3776. Let's go to Brandon in Tulsa. Brandon, thanks for holding on, buddy. What do you got for us today?
The Tulsa
game. Hey, good morning, guys.
Let's do it.
Jason, real quick, congrats on the new job at Channel 3000. I hadn't had a chance to call in since you left the Journal Sentinel, so congrats on that. Happy for you.
Thank you, and make sure you keep clicking the links.
Oh, we'll do it for sure. So when I saw that Goody hadn't reached out to Adams at all, it was weird to me. It's weird to me because it looks like a personal decision, not a football business decision. I mean, Adams is still a top 10, probably higher, but in my opinion, a top 10 wide receiver in the league who's not asking for max money. And the fact that your GM didn't think that guy deserved any call whatsoever tells me this is a personal decision based on history. He's not a bad locker room guy. We know that Devontae's a great locker room guy. He's got no legal troubles in the past. So refusing to call out tells me the way our relationship ended 3 years ago is something that he couldn't get over. And I don't like that. Like, I want Goody to make cold business decisions. Personal history doesn't matter. If you can make our team better, I'm going to inquire and do my due diligence. So the no contact is crazy to me, because if there's anybody not named Devontae Adams, I feel like he would have reached out at least. Like, you can't say that Adams is asking for too much, because you never talked to the guy. We have no idea what he would have accepted from Green Bay to come back home to play with Jordan. So I didn't like the fact that that decision was made. I'm not a GM, but didn't like it. My question to Brian is, because, you know, Brian, you played in the locker room. The fact that Jordan and Josh Jacobs campaigned so hard to get Adams back, do you think that's going to cause any issue with the wide receivers who are here going forward? Now that we know Devontae's not coming back to the locker room, are these guys going to go into training camp or the summer programs and have that between Jordan and Josh? I mean, the first time somebody drops a ball and Jordan tries to say something, are they going to say, well, I guess, you know, you wish your buddy Devontae was here so he was, you know, catching all these passes? I mean, I'd like to think these guys are all consummate pros, but at the same time, they are young. And after what Romeo went through last year, I'm a little concerned that that might be a rift in the locker room going forward, because they know that their QB and their running back wanted somebody else in there that they aren't, quote-unquote, good enough. And the last thing, and Brian, you can answer that, but the last thing, I don't know what we could do this offseason to make us a Super Bowl contender. I don't think we're one player away. That said, if we don't do anything in free agency this year, it's going to kind of concern me about Goody feels no need to rush things. His job is secure no matter who the team president is. And I want everybody constantly wondering, you know what, is the job I'm doing good enough? Because if it's not, I'm replaceable. I want that sense of urgency. And it's kind of looking like Goody's, you know, not on cruise control, but he's like, I've got this. It doesn't matter what we do. My plan is still in play, and I've got nothing to worry about. Thanks for taking the call.
Brandon, great questions. I love them. Let's address the first one first, Brian, and the idea that that Josh Jacobs and Jordan Love and Keyshawn Nixon were all pushing for Devontae Adams. I'm curious, basically, on two sides of Brandon's question. On the one side, is there any sort of ill will is strong, but as he asked, with the current wide receivers toward those guys pushing for that. And on the flip side, are those guys irritated that despite their desire for the Packers to at least pursue Devontae, that is Josh Jacobs going, hey, man, I was trying to recruit this guy. You never even called him. So there's kind of it's a double-edged thing there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's certainly an interesting dynamic. because on one end, I mean, let's be real here, right? So let's go to in the past, right? Normally, when Aaron, Green Bay doesn't draft first-round receivers. We know that, right? That's been something that we know way back in the past. They haven't done that. But normally when when Aaron wanted one of his receivers re-signed or wanted to make sure one of his guys stayed, it got done, right? Like, it was something that always happened. There was no questions asked. And I'm not talking, like, guys that had no business staying. I mean, good players, right? So when the quarterback, and, you know, Jordan Love was a little more politically correct about it than I would say Josh Jacobs was.
So, fair.
Jacobs was a little more blunt about it than Jordan Love was. But that's okay. I'm okay with that. You know, Homer and I talked about it. Homer didn't like it, but I'm okay with it. I'm sure, you know, Jacobs has had the conversation with the two wideouts. But normally when the quarterback feels a certain way, maybe the GM does try to make things happen for that reason, right? Like, he does try to make something happen for his franchise quarterback that he paid all this money to make it work in that situation, to improve that quarterback's, you know, dynamic with his receivers. Because in the long run, if you bring in a guy like that, it's going to help the other guys that are in that room too. Make no mistake about it. It helps the other guys in the room. Even though those guys may not like it at the time, they don't like it at the given time that it happened, it will benefit them in the long run. But to go back to this, I don't think there will be, you know, maybe this tension that people may think there is. I mean, this is business. As a player, you have to know every single year, right? And I felt it when I was in Green Bay. Every single year, I felt that the team, that if I didn't play good enough the year prior, that Aaron, even though he might not have been thinking it, they want to bring in a better right tackle. Mm-hmm. That's what they want to do. They want to bring in someone better. They want to bring in someone younger. That was my thought always. And if you don't go out there and deliver the goods every single year, it's why I was always nervous. Like, I tore my ACL in 2013. I was coming back on a contract year, like, had right. to deliver goods. Like, tore my ACL in 2017. Came back in 18, McCarthy got fired. Had no idea if LaFleur and that staff was going to keep me, right? Like, had no idea if they were going to even let me stay around. But played well enough in 18 and played well in 19 with that staff. So, like,
and then they got
you have to be able. Then they got rid of me. Exactly. Then I didn't come back. you have to constantly deliver the goods. And, like, that's just Josh Jacobs wanting the best players in-house. That's all it is. Like, that's really all this comes down to, is good players wanting good players in-house. And if the wide receiver room, you know, if they're all about winning, which it's not like at the beginning of the year, all these guys, when they were talking to you and Domofsky and all these guys, all they said they want to do is want to win. Then you want the best players in-house. You want to be around the best guys possible. So if that is bringing in a Devontae and people are outspoken about it, that shouldn't bother you. There shouldn't be animosity towards that. You should feel like, hey, yeah, now there's a little more competition in the room. I got to elevate my game because there is that type of guy in here. But there shouldn't be animosity towards that. And you know what? If you do feel a certain type of way about it, have a conversation with Jacobs. Mm-hmm. Have a conversation with Jordan Love. Don't make this thing bigger than what it should be. Because now no one got brought in, right? Clearly, no one got brought in. So let's not make this thing like an issue. Let's not make this thing a problem. There doesn't need to be a problem. Let's be professionals here and let's go. Because now, depending on if they bring in anyone or not, right? It's us in this room, right? It's the receivers now that we got. It's the quarterback and the running back and the tight end. It's us. We got to go deliver the goods. It's us. It's up to us to get this thing done. No one else is coming in. This is what we got. So
right.
It's up to you guys and me now to figure this thing out. And that's the way you got to look at it.
Yeah. And we know LaFleur's motto, standards over feelings. And if your feelings are hurt that Josh Jacobs thought you needed a number one receiver, get over it and play to the standard of a number one receiver. Let's take another call here. I know we got Jamon and Jason waiting. Let's go to Jamon in Dallas first. Good morning, Jamon. How are you, man?
Good. How you doing?
We're good. Thanks for holding on so long. What are you thinking this morning?
Well, Booty not reaching out to Devontae, wasn't really surprised by that. It's not the bootiest thing to do, Devontae 32.
You're right.
Yeah, he's still talented, but it's just not a Booty thing. I mean, he let the guy walk 3 years ago for a reason. So,
Jamon, before you get to your point, let me interrupt you briefly, because I was saying this to somebody yesterday. 32 is not old. It's just old in Green Bay. Like, Reggie White was 31 when the Packers signed him. 31 when they signed him originally in 1993. And I know it's 2025 now, but like, Khalil Mack is 35. He's back on a one-year deal with the Chargers. Like, I hate the fact that a guy who still clearly can play is now viewed as too old, at least in our little corner of the NFL world. And obviously the Rams don't think 32 is too old. And I'm guessing there were other teams that had interest in him as well. But do you think 32 is old, or are you just saying that that's just what you're used to because that's what Goody thinks?
Yeah, it's just the Goody thing. I mean, they got rid of Christian Smith. I mean, he wasn't doing too good, but I mean, once he hit 30, he got rid of everybody who just turns over 30. Sorry, Brian, it happened to you too. Once you get to upper age with Goody, he's going to let you go. I'm sorry.
You're right. Hey, all right. Sorry to interrupt.
Hey, man, feelings not hurt. Don't worry. You're just speaking facts.
I feel like our receiving group, I feel like we have talent. I feel like we're very versatile. Once we get this offensive thing clicking, I think it has more to do with just with the coaching and the quarterback than it does receivers. We can open up a play action. I mean, you got guys. I mean, Malik Willis had no problem finding Jaden Reed downfield. So, I mean, we have the talent. You have the tight ends. We have the running back. I mean, like I said, we're versatile everywhere. It's just up to the team to just start clicking like it's supposed to. I mean, we're entering year three of the rebuild, you know. So, hopefully guys take big steps. Then next year, guys don't take steps after the third year of the rebuild, then we start making those decisions on who's getting signed, who's getting let go, who's getting picked up. Then I think we make those decisions next year. But this year, I think we give it one more chance. I think we add on a few pieces on defense.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask me, I say we keep Jair because there's not too many options. I know he's a liability because he gets hurt so much. But, I mean, Keyshawn Nixon is a liability with him out there on the dome. So, I mean, I think we just take that chance with Jair. We go draft the guy like we should do, regardless if we let Jair go or not. We should still go draft the cornerback. And we just try to run it all again.
Yeah, first of all, and great points, Jamon. We appreciate the call, buddy, and thanks for holding on for so long. I talked to somebody yesterday in the building who insists that Jair could still play. And I don't disagree, right? I mean, if he plays, he can play. But I would also say this, and this was part of our conversation, that if you expect him to tackle, it's just never happening anymore. And he was, you played with him during the era that he was aggressive. You played with him.
Yeah.
He was, for an undersized corner, he was not afraid to stick his face in there and get after guys. And then he got trucked by Najee Harris during that 21 game, that game in 2021. And he's never been the same since. And I don't blame him because he threw his shoulder in there and he got it all jacked up. And like Deion Sanders taught us, I'm here to cover guys. I'm not here to tackle. Well, in this defense, you got to be able to tackle. And I'm not sure if that'll mean that they move on from Jair or not. Because I do think that's also a factor in addition to his lack of availability and being a little bit out there as well. All right, I want to get to more calls, and I want to ask Brian this. So, Brian, think about this. Somebody brought it up earlier. I think it was Mike, or maybe it was Brandon in Tulsa. Always in the conversation. I always want to be in the conversation. That's what Goody said when he first got the job. And yet there was no conversation about Devontae at all. So maybe not in every conversation? We'll talk about that and get to more of your calls next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
I remember the nights when we were young, dumb, and wild and free. When I closed my eyes, I could see you in my sweatshirt, dancing around that college bar. These days I don't know where you are, but I get to keep these memories forever.
All right, let's get to a couple more calls, because everyone, I don't like making you guys wait, and I apologize for that, but we got a lot to cover, and we are 31 minutes from the opening of free agency negotiating window opening. I hate the term legal tampering, because it's tampering is tampering, A, and it was, you know, the fact, I remember, was it Bart Scott that, like, the Jets showed up at his door, like, at 12:01 a.m. on the free agency day with a contract just waiting for his signature? We all knew that this stuff was going on, but now they're just doing it before the window opens. Like, they're doing it, right? So it's not... The tampering continues, but the official opening of the window is a half hour away in free agency. All right, let's go to Jason in Wauwatosa. Jason, thanks for holding on. Good morning. Are you panicking, and are you disappointed with the window that hasn't even opened yet?
Jason, I called on Friday talking about the wide receiver position, so I'll follow up by
my That was point, a great call. We even used it in a tweet. It was so good.
Well, the final four, as we talked about in the NFC last year, were Philly with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, Detroit with Jamison Williams and Amon-Ra St. Brown, Washington with Terry McLaurin, they've added Deebo Samuel. The Rams with Puka Nacua, they added Davante Adams. There was a fifth team that was, by any objective measure, better than the Packers last year. They have Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison at wide receiver. There's lots of high-profile and first-round picks in that group of 10 receivers. So I'm not panicked, and I'm not disappointed by Goody's latest inability to stock the wide receiver position, because Keith failed for not going on 8 years. Brian was talking about how difficult the transition is to Jordan Love. Brian, he had 5 years of Aaron Rodgers as Hall of Fame quarterback, and he failed at the wide receiver position. At this point, Goody is who he is. We're going to be the youngest team. He hasn't traded a single round 1 through 5 pick for a single player, wide receiver, anywhere. We're going to be young, and we're going to keep all our draft picks. And we're going to be watching the Super Bowl from home again next year.
Jason with his crystal ball.
Oh, snap.
Look, here's the thing. Thanks for the call, Jace. Look, he's right, Brian. Like, what's that old saying? When someone shows you who they are, believe them. Like, and look, in 28 minutes, we could have a barrage of free agent signings, right? It was on the opening day of free agency last year that the moving pieces all occurred of Josh Jacobs, then no Aaron Jones, then Xavier McKinney. But this is year 8 for Goody. And you had 2019 when they brought in the two Smith brothers, Adrian Amos and Billy Turner. And you had this past year with Jacobs and with McKinney. But otherwise, like, there was in 18 the swap out of Jimmy Graham to replace Jordy Nelson, which was a mistake. But beyond that, like, more often than not, there's not a lot going on today for the Packers, and today's probably going to be like that as well, right?
I would guess, yeah, probably. I mean, I don't know the list of free agents. I mean, maybe I should be looking into that more.
No, you're a film guy. You're not a list guy.
Yeah, I'm not much of a list guy, but it's probably going to be that way, I would guess. So it would appear that they're probably going to be more of that you know, day three or four of free agency where they kind of
the bargain,
you know, where they're trying to find guys that are a little more on the undervalued side would be my guess, right? Where they can find guys that need to prove it type year, right? Like, and they bring those types of guys in, which sometimes you could find guys that are hungry, that you can get good value for guys, and they can play a pivotal role. But, you know, that's not guaranteeing a home run, right? Like, and you don't even know if those guys sometimes even make the roster. So, it just depends. And you see with the, I mean, you know, the last caller was on the wide receiver room and all the other guys around the league and all these other teams that are good around the league with these receiver rooms. There was never a need, I guess, so to speak, to rebuild the wide receiver room with Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers, you know, made the wide receiver room good, right? And for the longest time, the wide receiver room was drafted really well,
right?
Like, I mean, let's be dead honest. Like, I mean, there were good wide receivers constantly in there. They developed and they were good and they stayed around for a long time. So, like, it's hard to say, like, you know, well, there were 5 years of Aaron that, you know, the wide receiver room was, the cupboard was bare. I mean, Devontae was there for a while still. You know, so I understand where he's coming from, right? Like, there's never going to be first round draft picks at wide receiver. It's just, they don't, Green Bay just doesn't look at that position as that, you know, like, and I don't know how they rank their, you know, how they do their values with the first round picks and all that kind of stuff. But like, the wide receiver position just isn't there. You know what I mean? For some reason,
right,
it's just not there. So we're not going to see that. But they've been very successful picking guys in the second and third round. So, like, they're not going to stray away from that philosophy. And that's what we got to live with. I mean, that's the way it's going to be.
I would just say this, you know, after the conversation that I had with somebody that works in the building yesterday, I do think, and they agreed with me, that I think they underestimated what moving on from Devontae was going to do to them. I do. And we've now, this is 3 years, right? Because it was the 22 season, was the first year without him. And Alan Lazard was your number one. And we all like Alan Lazard around here. Matt LaFleur loved him because he was a do-the-dirty-work, called him a goon in the nicest possible way. But the fact that you went into a season with him as your number one wide receiver and three rookies that you drafted, I don't want to go so far as to call it malpractice, but there's a reason why you didn't make the playoffs in 2022. And if you had Devontae Adams, even with Rodgers' broken thumb, you'd probably still make the playoffs. Do you make the Super Bowl? No, probably not. But, I mean, now we are 3 years in, and now it'll be the fourth year post-Devontae, and you're still waiting for Christian Watson, who now is injured and going to be coming back at the back end of the season. You still don't know exactly what Romeo Doubs is, because Romeo Doubs is a talented cat. But he's also a different cat. He's a little weird, frankly. And it's hard to know what to expect from him.
He's different. I mean, he's different. And unfortunately, I mean, I don't know the guy. I'm not in the locker room with the guy. But unfortunately, what happened this year with him not coming into work, like,
right,
I'm not there to know the situation. I can only see it from the outside. And I've never been a part of that as a player. I don't know what to think of that, right? Like, that's different to me. That's something that's very different to me.
Where's Tausch saying, oh, I thought he was the most even-keeled player you ever covered, Jason?
Yeah, he's off today, but I would say this. I don't love using that word about a player, and I might have been trying to find a different word back then, because he is different. He's different. And look, he is talented. Like, let's not get that twisted. He's got really good hands. He gets open. He's not afraid, at least until the two concussions. He has not been afraid of contact. That's another thing to worry about with him. As Tausch would say, I don't think they're going to pay him now because they don't know what to believe. But, hey, he can make himself a lot of money this year. Maybe not from the Packers, but he can make himself a lot of money if he just puts his head down and works his tail off and is productive. My point is that we are now entering a fourth year of no clear number one. And for all of our talk about the Friends ensemble cast, they are still waiting for someone. And maybe it's Reed and maybe it's Wicks, but maybe it's not. And the one guy that I think is still capable of being that guy tore his ACL in a game that he wasn't even supposed to play, but Romeo Doubs was sick, and they played Christian Watson, and he blew out his ACL in a game that they weren't intending to play him in. And that sucks. So
yeah.
I want to get into that conversation about being in the conversation. We'll do that coming up next. If Tausch was here, he would remind you that life is busy, and he would give this chicken, potatoes for sale spiel about Quick Trip. I'm just going to tell you this. We love Quick Trip. Sydney was at a volleyball tournament on Saturday, and there was a Quick Trip half a mile away from the facility. Went and got her extra Gatorade, some watermelon, a pretzel to snack on, a bagel, everything we needed. It was right there at Quick Trip. And look, Quick Trip gets it. Whether you're craving fresh coffee, a tasty bakery treat, or a quick grab-and-go meal or snack, Quick Trip is your go-to. It was for us on Saturday. Food's here. Quick Trip has a variety of apps and meals ready when you are. You can grab ready-to-go Don's Pizzas for a quick, tasty dinner. 4 for $10 or $3.99 each. But wait, you can also grab Quickery hot dogs or hamburger buns for only 99 cents a package and Nature's Touch milk for just $2.99 or Urge chips and popcorn, 2 for $3.50. And Tausch tells me one more time about the soup. I'm going to get the soup. Warm up with soup bags on special $6.99 every Tuesday. And you never, ever hear Tausch talk about anything but the chicken deals. Roasted whole chickens on special for $6.99 every Monday. So whether it's a quick bite or dinner on the go, Quick Trip is your ultimate destination. Fuel your day with quality taste. Download the Quick Trip Rewards app and take advantage of all Quick Trip has to offer. Quick rewards every time you visit. Plus, you can order ahead for pickup or curbside delivery. Quick Trip. We'll see you next time. More with Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Let's get to one more call here, and then we'll get into our In Every Conversation, because that seems to be something that divides the fan base a little bit. That's why I want to get into it, because some people, hey, I like the fact that he's in every conversation. And then other people, I don't give a blank if he's in every conversation or not. Did he get the guy or did he not get the guy? And now we got Davante Adams and DK Metcalf, and he wasn't in the conversation. Let's have a conversation with Mo in Illinois first, though. Mo, good morning. Thanks for holding on. What do you got for us, buddy?
Well, what I got for you is a lot of frustration.
And I know figured. I speak on many factors. let me just say, when I saw your name on my text chain, I had a pretty good idea what the call was going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I know I speak for many Packer fans when I say that. We're just kind of tired and fed up with the old, same old garbage mentality. I mean, coming from Goody and just the front office, they're very cheap. They never want to go above and beyond when it comes to adding playmakers. And this stems all the way back to the Favre and Rodgers era. I mean, they do a few sprinkles, they add a few players, but they never get that home run signing. I know last year they got McKinney and Jacobs, so I'll give Goot some flowers for that. But I'm just kind of tired of how overstimulated they get with being the youngest team in the NFL. I've had to hear that pile of garbage for the last 3 years, and I don't want to hear it again this year. I'm getting quite tired of it. I mean, we're talking about the receivers being young. We're talking about at key positions them being young. Well, what has young done to this team? Young has gotten them on the couch and not go back to where they belong in a Lombardi Trophy. They need to bring home the Lombardi Trophy, and Goot is not making moves that are reflective of that. So I'm just tired of it. And I have a question for Brian because, you know, he's been in that locker room, and I'm just kind of curious with how the players think. Do they not talk about – do they not have some frustration in that locker room with not adding players, especially at positions where it seems like it's pretty universal with the sentiment in the locker room that they need to add a true number one alpha wide receiver? Like, how do the players manage that? Because I could tell you, playing high school football, I get pissed off when people are not, you know, taking their job serious or not even trying. I can't imagine what the NFL is like. So I'm just curious to hear from Brian about that.
Really good question, Mo.
Yeah, great question. You know, I think guys are respectful of other players in the locker room. I'll start with that, right? Like, guys are very respectful of other people. So, at least in my time there. So there, it's not going to be something that's wildly outspoken, like, you know, like, we need to get this, or like, we like rallying around, like, we need to get a new number one, or we need a true number one. But there will be conversations behind closed doors, most likely between the quarterback and probably between the quarterback's coach and the wide receiver coach and probably, you know, the offensive coordinator and things of that nature about what the needs are for the team and things like that and what goes on and the whispers there. Because the last thing you want to do is upset the guys that are currently in the locker room, because if you don't end up getting that number one guy that you're looking for or you're hoping to go out and get, and you do have to ride with the room that you have, and those guys are, you know, disgruntled and pissed at you, it's going to make for a rough ride, right? Like, and you don't want that to happen. And regardless of what, like, Jacobs and Jordan Love or whatever happened during that media day, you know, deal that happened during the Super Bowl, regardless of that, what it appears to be that they're riding with the group that they got right now. So, like, no matter what those guys sent out in text afterwards, right? Like, I know, Reed and Wicks, you know, they sent some text tweets out that they were pretty unhappy with it or whatever, what they said. It, that stuff's got to be in the past now. Right, like, you got to move on and you got to be able to be adults and professionals and work that out between each other and go play. But there's guys know what positions, you know, not saying that they struggle, but know where there may be some deficiencies, right? Like, hey, you know, we could use we could use another wide receiver, or we could use a guard, or we could use a defensive tackle, or we could use another corner. You know, and that's why guys pay attention during the draft, or guys pay attention during free agency, because you know what the team needs. Like, guys know it.
So you don't...
Some guys...
So as a player, like, all right, first of all, you're sitting there, I don't really want another right tackle, right? Like, Tausch, for when we love him, but when you were drafted... He's probably thinking, well, boy, I sure hope he replaces Cliffy on the left side, not me, right? And then he had the injury, yeah. Right? But you guys pay attention to that. But I think to Mo's point, and thanks for the call, Mo. Sorry to cut you off. But is there a, God, I just want us to go all in feeling? Because I can guarantee you that the quarterback, the previous quarterback, that was his biggest frustration. And he wasn't shy about that. Like, I'm not betraying secrets with him. Like, he wanted Ted, especially when you guys were close during your playing career, because so much of your career obviously overlapped with his. There were times where he really wanted, whether it was, you know, during the Super Bowl year, and you guys won the Super Bowl anyway, but he wanted Marshawn Lynch, played with him at Cal, and hey, maybe you guys win in 11 too. I don't know. But the bottom line is that he got really pissed that there were not enough times where you guys said, blank them picks, we're going all in, and we're gonna push the cap to the limit, we're going to give up picks to trade for guys. That is something that I find myself wondering, like, Mo, if players sometimes get to be like, God, I just want to go all in. Let's go for it.
Yeah. You know, there's a player mentality of it that, you know, you want to be aggressive at times with it, right? Like we want to go get as many guys as we can to help win, but like that's just wishful thinking. because it does not matter what we think. It literally does. Yeah, there are some guys that have pull. Obviously, Aaron had pull, but you just said it. Aaron wanted stuff to happen, and it didn't happen. Right. Like, that says it all, right? Like, and Aaron was the most important player on the team. We all know that. There's no secret there. He wanted, you know, certain wide receivers or running backs or whatever he wanted, and it just didn't happen. So, like, you could want this guy to come in or that guy to come in or this position, and it doesn't matter, right? So, like, we could wish all we want, and the organization looks at it as Green Bay always has, build and develop. That's how they look at it, and that's how they're able to manage the cap so well and keep things in check and do what they do. So, yeah, you always like to see the team that you're on be aggressive to give yourself an opportunity. I always felt that the teams that I was on in Green Bay, we always had enough talent that I felt like we always had a chance, right? Like, I always felt like we had a lot of good players. Mm-hmm. So we were, like, always in the hunt, right? Like, so, yeah, maybe if we would have brought in another, I guess, high-priced guy, maybe that chance goes up significant. I don't know, right? But, like,
right.
I always felt that we had the guys to get it done, and that's the way it is. But, again, maybe an outsider perspective would have been better than mine inside, you know, insider perspective, you know, but from a player point of view, there's nothing we can do about it. I can assure you that we could all go up to the GM office, every single guy, and go, hey, we want this guy. And they're going to look at us and go, turn around, go back down to the locker room. Don't care. Well, please leave. Like, and right. That's just the way it is. Especially linemen. Especially linemen.
You guys, your opinions are worth less than the rest of the guys for sure.
Exactly.
All right, we'll save the in the conversation for the top of the 11 o'clock hour. I've seen Jesse flash a couple of texts throughout the show. I want to get to a couple of those because there were some good conversation points to have there. We'll do those next, and then at the top of the 11 o'clock hour, we'll get into this idea of being in the conversation, because again, at least when it came to a Davante Adams, there was no conversation. More with Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day. It's Will Dean Tausch.
We're on the Badgers.
Who would have thought after two seasons?
Because we're on Wisconsin Sports.
That Greg Gard would have less of a hot seat than Luke Fickell.
This is 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
Slow down on Monday.
Jesse, I feel like we ignored the text portion of the talk and text line, the carbless talk and text line. Less is more. So let's get more from the texts. Let's give us a couple here.
Here's Thomas in Manitowoc. Might be his first text he's ever sent us. And it's a long one, but it's a good one.
Look how tiny that font is.
Yeah, so auto-adjusting font. It gets nice and tiny for us sometimes, yeah. I'm upset the Packers didn't even call Devontae. DK, I understand it's too much money. I don't trust the receiver room at all. Regardless, Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave needs to be utilized more in this offense, period. I will give this time, but we will sign a no-name player that no one knows as an edge rusher that's 25 or 26 years old. Overall, the Packers went 1-5 versus this tough division last year. That should make there be a sense of urgency because no one is going to wait for the Packers to get better. Thomas and Manitowoc. A couple of different thoughts there.
Brian, what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, listen, the thing that jumps out to me right off the get is the division record. I mean, that's not a lying stat. That is the record in the division, 1-5. I don't recall, when was the last time that was even the division record, Jason? I mean,
I believe... I believe 2005 when the Mark Tauscher led 4-12 Packers were the best 4-12 team in NFL history.
Okay, so it's been a long time since a division record looked that way. So yeah, that's a reason to be a little concerned in it. And obviously, the Bears are making a lot of moves. They're trying to improve that roster dramatically right now, and trying to turn that thing around with a new head coach and all that, and get that quarterback settled. So that to me jumps off the page when you look at what that tech said. Now, I don't know what edge rusher we're going to get that's 25 or 26 old that is a no-name guy. I have no idea. You know, we'll see what that is. I don't really have much to say about that. And I do agree that we do need to get Kraft and Musgraves more involved. That has to be the case, because if we don't do anything with the wide receiver room, those guys have to be more involved. They got to be, you know, targeted more and used more consistently.
Jesse, what else you got?
Another long one here, but a good one.
Jeez, epic.
Everybody's got a lot to say on the text line today. Spencer in Minnesota. When is the last time Goody made Matt LaFleur's job easier? Josh Jacobs wasn't accustomed to our running system, and Matt had to change it midway through the season. First-round offensive lineman had to play a new position. Gave him the youngest group of pass catchers ever 2 years ago. Goody couldn't even sign Big Dog for Matt. I'm not concerned about missing out on Devontae Adams. I just want the GM and coach to be on the same page. Spencer in Minnesota.
Yeah, well, that's a good example, the Big Dog one. Now, again, you know, he was essentially a blocking tight end toward the end of his time, but he really did have a good connection with LaFleur, and that's the kind of old guy that I think LaFleur, God, he'd still be in the Packers locker room if LaFleur had any say about it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I love Mercedes. He was great. He was great to play with. But I... You know, when it comes to GMs making coaches' lives easier, I mean, this is a tough one to answer because, like, it's going to be very hard to bring in players that fit perfect into certain schemes every single time. You know what I mean? Like, it's just hard to do that. Like, especially in free agency, it's hard to, like, unless you're like taking a Shanahan player or you're taking a McVay player and you're bringing them over, right? Like that's the way that you could find a like-for-like match. But when you go get a guy like Jacobs, who played with Vegas and, you know, the scheme that they played was downhill duo, and now you have to adjust your scheme to fit what that is, yeah, I mean, you're going to have to change things up and adjust and make him, you know, comfortable and change how you do things. And they did that, and I think – and I've said it before, I think this year they're going to adjust back to what they do, because I think Jacobs is comfortable with the system and, you know, what LaFleur's system does and all that. And, I mean, they'll still do what he does well, but, you know, back to what LaFleur's system does well to help out the play-action game and all that. With the receivers and having the youngest team and youngest group, yeah, that's going to be tough on a coach. It's going to be tough on a coach no matter what because we've talked about it before. That puts a lot of responsibility on the coach to police a lot of things because while there are some veteran leaders on that team like Kenny and now like McKinney and guys like that years prior, there wasn't. So, like, the head coach has to do a lot of those things, right? Where normally in the past, when he had Aaron and guys like Mercedes and Devontae and Dave and like that, the veteran players did all that. They policed the locker room. They held people accountable. They held those things in check. And if the head coach didn't need to get involved, then he would get involved. So there is some pros and cons with having the young locker room and having the veterans in there as well. And you know, the GM has to find that happy balance too, and that kind of goes back to the last caller about being mad about having the youngest roster. You know, he's sick of having hearing the youngest roster. At some point, you know, what to that last caller's, you know, what he was saying, the youngest roster thing you can't make that excuse anymore, right? Like that's over at some point, right? Like you just can't keep saying that. Like that, you know, the first year, sure. Second year, okay, yeah. Like they're still very young, but at some point they've played a lot of football, right? Like that, they've played a lot, and they've, you know, experienced a lot. They've seen a lot. Now it's time to perform, and that's this year, I would imagine, right? Like to me, 2 years of football, 2 years of experience. Here we go. Let's see it. So like that's what I think. You know, I'm looking forward to is to see how these guys have grown. I mean, we've seen it 2 years. Now here's the third year. Time to deliver.
All right, I want to get into the conversation about being in the conversation. Free agency, the negotiating window is open, and Twitter is closed.
Again?
It's not working again. So Tausch's old boy, Elon, not making it easy to get all that information.
Threads! Where's Threads?
Blue Ski, as Tausch likes to call it as well.
Time to shine. New platforms. Here we go.
Your big opportunity. Yes. Where on earth is Adam Schefter going to post all the breaking news? Here's some breaking news. Tausch has been telling you about it for a while, though, actually. Packers fans, if you're dreaming of the ultimate draft day experience, American Family Insurance's Dream Draft Sweepstakes is your chance to win a VIP trip to the NFL Draft right here in Green Bay. Imagine this. This is where Tausch tells us to close our eyes. But I can't because I got to read this. You and a guest could score exclusive tickets, hotel accommodations, you don't have to stay with the Wilde family and all their pets, and custom merchandise and more. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that you don't want to miss. So enter today. Go to amfam.com/Packers. That's amfam.com/Packers to enter that sweepstakes. Twitter briefly back up to inform us that Chris Godwin goes back to the Buccaneers per Ian Rappaport. 3 years, $66 million. $44 million guaranteed at signing. I don't think the Packers would have been interested in that number either. We will.
Yeah, I don't.
That's a lot. We will. Yeah. We'll get into the conversation about being in the conversation next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin on Demand.